Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the noon report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and the birthday boy, Michael Geher, at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, I'm going to be a good host and not mention your age, but it's a major milestone, sir. Thank you for being along today.
Well, I'm glad to do so, and people can tell from my gray hair that at least I'm a little older than college age.
Yeah, he's not quite getting the senior citizen discount at Bob Evans yet, but won't be long. Well, hey, Jason, let's begin with you. Of course, much of New York State really zeroed in on what took place in Buffalo this week with the resignation of Bishop Richard Malone. Kind of was a story that we'd been anticipating for a while. And even though, you know, you're not a Catholic, I'm not a Catholic, a lot of our listeners aren't Catholic, there are lessons here for anybody in a position of authority. It's not just the Catholic Church here, public schools, private schools, Protestant churches, everybody dealing with this. What are the lessons learned here? What are some of the silver linings in this sad saga?
Well, you know, I think the lesson for all of us is, you know, sin always takes you further than you want to go, costs you more than you want to pay, and keeps you longer than you want to stay. You know, I learned that as a teenager in the first Bible-believing church that I attended, and you're certainly seeing that in many institutions today that have been engaged in the cover-up of sin. It's catching up with them, and it's something that we are going to be held accountable for.
Yeah. In light of this, Michael, Governor Wolf has signed historic child abuse protection laws that increases the statute of limitations. This was born out of that grand jury report in your state on pedophile priests and just how systemic a problem it is. What will these reforms accomplish? Do they adequately address the problem here?
Well, ultimately, I don't think there's any way to adequately address the problem. I mean, we're talking about decades and decades of wrongdoing by certain individuals and then some cover-up by the church. And as Jason just said, it, and as you said at the outset, it goes beyond the Catholic Church. But that grand jury report dealt with that. So it does not go back. It does not change the statute of limitation and allow complaints to be filed or lawsuits to be filed beyond for events that happened in the past. What it does do is look forward and says, okay, if these sorts of situations happen in the future, there's going to be either an elimination of the statute of limitations in certain cases or an extension of that. And that will at least, I think, provide some opportunity for justice going forward.
Yeah, and included in that is some mandatory reporting changes. So it affects anybody who works with kids in Pennsylvania. Big story in New York, Jason, the state facing a more than $6 billion deficit next year. How do you fear, and I use those words carefully, how do you fear the governor and the Democrats who control the legislature will try to attempt to fill that hole?
Two words, cannabis and casinos. That seems to be the direction that immediately is coming out. Is there's talk of legalizing recreational marijuana and increasing the number of casinos in our state. They can tax those vices and be able to draw some revenue in. Now, that's only a small fraction of what they're going to need to get to this $6.1 billion deficit covered. Ultimately, they've got to rein in the Medicaid spending, which is where this problem is coming from. But as we have, as a state, seen the expansion of Medicaid services to include things like even sex change surgeries, they don't appear to have the appetite to rein it in anytime soon. Instead, the Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Hasty, has indicated that likely tax increases, or as he calls them, revenue raisers, are coming in an attempt to close that budget deficit.
And not just on the upper class. This is a tax hike on middle-class New Yorkers as well, correct?
Well, we don't know. You know, time will tell what they're ultimately going to do. But I think that one way or another, the taxpayers of New York State are going to be footing the bill for really the poor habits of those in Albany.
All right. Michael, on your website, you have articulated several ways that people in Pennsylvania can, in real tangible ways, work to protect and promote life. Briefly explain what some of those are.
Yeah, there's so many different ways, but we've highlighted three that really involve sort of the realm that we're engaged in here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. And First of all, that does involve, especially with our Pennsylvania Family Council and our PAC, just encouraging people to be good citizens and to get out and vote. And for those that are pro-life in their ethic, to include that in how they vote, to put people in office that support the sanctity of life from conception until natural death. The next thing would be involving day in and day out. We have a full-time legislature here in Pennsylvania that is looking at legislation both that can enhance the pro-life movement and the pro-life ethic, but also things that would undermine it, things like telemed abortions and those sorts of things. And so we would encourage people to be good citizens in terms of communicating with their elected officials, which we help them do. And then the third thing is just to be speaking out about these issues and to be talking to others about these things and to engage with organizations, whether it's pregnancy care centers that work in the front lines or with organizations like Pennsylvania Family Institute that are working on the legislative side of things.
Yeah, everybody's got a part to play in this, don't we? Jason, yeah. You have a vision to see New York become a pro-life state someday. How long do you think it will take? Because you look out there right now, you say, that will never happen. How long do you think, that, realistically speaking, that will take to happen, New York to become a pro-life state?
Well, you know, ultimately only the Lord knows, but I believe that it will take a generational shift. If you look at just where we're at right now, New York does seem very dark on the life issue. But nationally, we're seeing some very positive signs. And I think in time, that will look better in New York as well. But before even legislatively, things are going to have to change. Electorally, things are going to have to change. And it takes time to change legislative seats. All of those things are undergirded, though, by a spiritual transformation that has to occur in our state. So who knows if the Lord might pour out his spirit next year in 2020, or if it's going to be a more generational shift. But we know that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen. And one more sanctity of life issue, Michael, kind of concerning what's happening in York, Pennsylvania, the Planned Parenthood facility there. What's going on?
Well, they recently failed state inspections in terms of health and safety inspections there at the Planned Parenthood clinic. And one of the things, though, that they're doing in response to that is engaging in what are called telemed or long-distance abortions, where doctors are consulting with the women to give them the RU-46 chemical abortion, doing it by video or Skype type of situations. And this is something that we think is not really legitimate under Pennsylvania law. It's going to be looked into, but that's what they're talking about at the York Planned Parenthood. One of the reasons, again, that we encourage people to be engaged in the pro-life issue, because these things crop up in local communities, and so the March for Life that we're doing next May is something where we can have a voice across the state to say, let's stand for life.
Yeah, know what's going on in your communities and at the state capitals. That's why we do this program every week. Jason, switching gears a little bit, you've recently named a new legislative chaplain at New Yorkers. Explain who this guy is, what his qualifications are, why this position is so necessary to the overall success of your ministry.
Yeah, recently we announced that Pastor Eric Walton, who's a Capital Region pastor, will be serving as our next legislative chaplain. And we believe it matters because we exist as an organization to influence not just legislation, but legislators for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to have a pastoral presence in the halls of our Capitol. While we are lobbying legislation, we also want to be influencing the hearts of our elected officials with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we charge this legislative chaplain with, is to lead the Bible study, lead the outreach, lead the visitation that occurs in the halls of Albany in hopes of reaching members and staff with the good news of the gospel.
Awesome. I love where your head's at, Jason. And then finally, Michael, 20 million fewer Americans are giving to charity today than did 20 years ago. There was an interesting article this week that suggests God might have something to do with this. Explain the connection between generosity and religiosity, if you would.
Well, the whole notion of charity is really a Christian concept. If you look at world history and look at giving, even the fact that the United States is historically been the most generous country in the world in terms of giving is based out of Christian charity, concepts that come from the gospel, come from our biblical understanding. And the decline in giving and the numbers of people who are giving is directly correlated to less church attendance in America, a decline in what would be described by some as religiosity, but really adherence to Christian ethics and Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And so as Christianity seems to be, in some people's views and measures, on the decline. So we see, too, with charitable giving and giving even in churches.
And we know this is the time of year when folks like to give. And if you want to give to worthy organizations, both of you have wonderful websites. Where can they find you, Jason, online?
NewYorkFamilies.org.
And in Pennsylvania, Michael?
PAFamily.org.